Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. While you're turning, the Bible says it teaches us that a little laughter is good for us. It's good like medicine. Little boy said, our teacher asked what my favorite animal was, and I said, fried chicken. She said, she said that I wasn't funny, but she couldn't have been right because everyone else laughed. And my parents told me to always tell the truth. And I did. A fried chicken is my favorite animal. I told my dad what happened, and he said my teacher was probably a member of PETA. He said that they love animals very much, and I do too, especially chicken, pork, beef. Anyway, my teacher sent me to the principal's office, and I told him what happened, and he laughed too. Then he told me not to do it again. The next day in class, my teacher asked me what my favorite live animal was. And I told her it was chicken. And she asked me why. So I told her it was because you could make them into fried chicken. She sent me back to the principal's office. He laughed and told me not to do it again. I don't understand. My parents taught me to be honest, but my teacher doesn't like it when I am. Today, my teacher asked me to tell her what famous person I admired the most. I told her Colonel Sanders. Guess where I'm at now? Amen. All right. Amen. A little laughter to help you. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Amen. I guess I have to say I admire old Colonel pretty good myself. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Look at the Word of God. I want to begin reading. I'm going to read 8 verses. We begin in verse 1. And I'm really going to only preach from one of them, one or two of them. But I want to read these and put them in context. Verse number 1. For we know, I like that word know. Don't you like that? That word know is important. I'm glad this morning that we don't have to hope and we don't have to think, but we can know. He said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. He's talking about our body. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. He's talking about a spiritual body. When we die, we're going to have it. When we lay this body of flesh down, we're going to drop this veil of flesh and rise and seize the everlasting prize. Verse number 3, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. So he's saying, we're not saying we don't want a body, but we're groaning. This physical body's groaning. We're looking for that spiritual body, that body that will be glorified. Verse number 5, for he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who hath also given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. The earnest of the Spirit. He said, when God saved you, he gave you the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. It's earnest. It's a down payment guaranteeing that what's going to happen, sure enough, going to happen. Verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. How many knows that's true? Verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. In verse number 6, he said, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. And in verse 8, he said, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And so he's saying we are confident. There's some things that we know that make us confident. And as we look at this passage in the context Paul is writing, in the much broader context, he's talking about the ministry that he had to the Corinthian church, but he's dealing with the time of death, and he's dealing with the time of these physical bodies going to be laid down one day, and we're going to be clothed with a new body. We're going to have a house from heaven, in other words. And you need to understand this. You are not a body that has a spirit this morning. You are a spirit that has a body. And there's a difference. You, as your spirit man, you're going to live forever somewhere. Every one of us this morning
this body is not really who you are. This body is clothing you. And one of these days, this physical body is going to deteriorate. That which comes from the dust is going to return to the dust. And God is going to give you, if you're saved, a brand new glorified body. No more pain, no more sickness, no more death, no more tears, no more heartache, no more cancer, no more leukemia, amen. No more sugar diabetes. Are you listening? You're going to lay down this body one day. You've got to get a brand new body. No more temptations. And that's what he's dealing with here. And he says that we can be confident when we face that time, when we get to that time. Verse 6, we are always confident knowing this. And then he said in verse number 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So there's coming a time in the child of God's life that when we leave this world, this body will stay here. And at death, that's what death is. Death is the separation from the spirit and the soul from the body. At death, the spirit is going to rise and go to glory if you're saved. If you're not saved, your spirit is going to descend into the place of the departed dead and the lost. And that is the place called hell. And your spirit's going to live forever in one of the two places. But at death, your spirit and your soul leave, and your body is here. But he said, we're confident. He said, we're willing rather to be absent from the body. That is for me to leave the body and to be present with the Lord. And you know, many times when we come into life, there's a lot of people that are scared when it comes to dying. When people think about facing death, and I'm not here to say that anybody's going to die this week, but I do want to say this, it's a possibility. None of us are promised tomorrow. Boast not thyself tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. What is your life? It's even a vapor. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. I'm not here trying to get you to think you're going to die, but I want you to think about what if you did die. And many of us, when we think about that, it's some of us that are saved, we've been saved for years, and we understand the Word of God. And what God's telling us, it doesn't bother us a bit. We have, listen, perfect peace, knowing that one day I'm going to die, and I'm going to wake up in glory, and I'm going to wake up to sleep no more. But there are others that when they think about dying, there's a fear, there's a dread, there's an unsettled and an unrest feeling that comes across them. And this morning, I want to preach on this thought on confidence at the crossing. Confidence at the crossing. I like those phrases that Paul uses twice, almost word for word. He said, we are confident. In verse 6, he said, we are always confident. We are confident. And I say this morning that you and I, as children of God, we have every right to be like Paul and to say, we are confident. If you've been saved by the good grace of God, you can, like Paul, write your name down and say, I am confident. You don't have to hope. You don't have to think. You don't have to wish. You don't have to wait and find out. You can know beyond a shadow of a doubt today, and you can be confident when it comes to the cross. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I need you this morning. And I pray that God, Lord, the Word of God would fall on fertile ground, speak to hearts and lives. And Lord, use the Word of God to help us this morning. Encourage those that need to be encouraged. And Lord, convict and draw those that are lost and without the Lord Jesus. May they be saved before it's everlasting too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We're talking about being confident at the crossing. The crossing many times is a phrase, it's a term that's been used of death. We'd say that we're going to cross the river. We're going to cross to the other side. Many of you have heard that terminology. So I use that terminology this morning that when we have this confidence, we can be confident at the crossing. And I want to talk about how we can be confident at the time of death. Maybe it's our death. Maybe it's the time of our loved ones who have departed and they've been separated from us. How can we be confident knowing that they have gone to a better place? I want to remind you this morning that everybody that dies doesn't go to a better place. You hear that a lot of times at funerals. Somebody, well, they're in a better place. Well, let me hold on. Time out. Everybody, are y'all all right? Everybody doesn't go to a better place. But if you're saved, you'll go to a better place. I mean, it's far better. Listen to what Paul said over in Philippians in chapter number 1, in verse number 23. Paul said this. He said, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Far better. So Paul said, Going to heaven is far better than being here. Now, he was willing in Philippians 1. Paul was willing to stay here. He said, I'm willing to stay, and God's got a purpose for me to minister to the Philippian church. He said, but I got a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Can I help you out this morning and encourage you, child of God? If you're saved and you know you're saved, heaven is far better than where you're at. You can have the nicest house, you can have all the money, you can have all the vehicles and the nicest clothes and eat the finest food and have it all. But hey, if you're saved, I got news for you. None of that, hey listen, none of that compares slightly to what waits in heaven for you. I'm telling you, heaven is far better. I'm looking forward to going to heaven. And Paul says here that we're confident. We are always confident. The idea here of to be confident is just that we're of good courage. We are of good cheer. In other words, here's the idea of confident. Hey, we're bold. How would you like to be able to look the old grim reaper in the eye and say, look, I am not scared of you? Can I say that if you're saved this morning, if you know that you're saved, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you can look the old death in the eye and you can say, I am not afraid of you. You've lost your sting, you've lost your power, you have no strength over me. Are you listening? Hey, if you're saved, you can have that confidence. It's not a cockiness, it's not anything you've done, it's not anything I've done. It's not because I'm a member of a church, it's not because I've given money in the offering, it's not because I've been baptized, it's not because I did this or didn't do this, it's not because I kept a list, it's not because I had the catechism or the baptism or any other ism. Listen, are you listening to me? It's because you know Jesus Christ. And that's the only reason you can have confidence. And to know. And I say to you this morning that you can know, and God wants you to know. He wants you to be sure where you're going to go when you die. Frequently we witness and we talk to people, and I ask this question: do you know for sure that if you were to die today, you would go to heaven? Now let me say this. I hope that you can look at me in the eye and say, absolutely, preacher, I know that. But there are many people that will look at you and say, well, I'd like to think so, or I hope so, or I want to say that, but can I help you this morning? That's not good enough. I want to be good, and I want to be honest with you this morning. I want you to know that the Bible teaches you that you can know and you can have complete confidence while you're right here in this life, before you close your eyes in death, you can say, we are always confident. We're confident. You say, I'm confident that when it comes time for me to cross, when it comes time me to die, when it comes time me to go to the other side, I'm confident that when I depart and when I'm absent from this body, that I will be with the Lord. I want you to turn with me right quick to a couple of verses. I want you to look in 1 John chapter number 5. I want you to see this with your own eyes. I want you to look in 1 John, and we're coming back to that verse, but I want you to look in 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 13. You got it, 1 John 5:13. You need to see this. 1 John chapter number 5, verse 13. It's toward the back. It's right before Revelation. You got 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. If you find 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 13. 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 13. John wrote in 1 John chapter number 5, and listen to what he said. You're reading it with your own eyes probably already. In verse number 13, he said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, who are they? Those are those that have trusted Christ. They believe on the name of the Son of God. Why, John? That ye may have eternal life. Watch this. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. Are you listening? K-N-O-W, that ye may know that ye have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I'm telling you, God wants you to be saved and he wants you to K-N-O-W, know it. Are you listening? God wants you to have the assurance. He wants you to be confident when it comes time for your crossing. Look over in 2 Timothy. Back a few pages to the left, 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Paul wrote this in chapter number 1 and verse number 12. In 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul wrote and he said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul said, I know whom I believe it. I'm persuaded he's able to keep it. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about having confidence at the crossing. Can I say to you, if death should knock upon your door this week, you do not have to go to the deathbed worried to death. If cancer comes knocking and they say, sir, you have 6 weeks, 6 months, whatever it is, and if you're saved, you don't have to be scared. Oh, it's perfectly normal and it's right that you would miss loved ones, or you think you would, and they would miss you. That's perfectly normal. That's not what we're talking about. But we're talking about to have the confidence and the assurance to know that if I walk out of this building this morning and a tractor trailer runs over me out on Highway 311, that I can say with complete confidence that I know, that I know, that I know that when I leave this world, when I leave this body, my spirit and soul are going to my Maker. I know that because not because I've joined the church, not because anything I've done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. We're confident. We can be confident at the crossing. I want you to be able to leave here this morning, and I want you to, with complete confidence and assurance, not in a braggadocious way, but to be able to say with a deep, settled peace, I know where I'm going when I die. Confidence at the cross. You say, preacher, how can I be bold when I look death in the eye? When I look the death, grim reaper, whatever you want to call him, the death angel comes my way. Hey, how can I look at death with boldness and say, I'm not scared of you? I'll tell you how. I'm going to give you three reasons right quick if you'll look with me. Hey, number one, we can be confident at the crossing because of the price that Jesus paid. The price that Jesus paid. You say, what did he pay? Well, I want to say to you this morning, if you'll look with me in 1 Peter chapter number 1. We're going to look at several scriptures this morning. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And I want you to look with this. The price that's been paid wasn't the money you put in the offering plate this morning. That's not going to get you to heaven. Are you listening to me? If you think that's going to get you to heaven, you're going to hell. Are you listening to me? Your church membership, your good works, all that. None of that's going to cut it. The price has already been paid. Let me show you what the price is. 1 Peter chapter number 1, in verse number 18. For as much as ye, here's that word again, know. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed. That word redeemed has got to been purchased out of sin, purchased from sin. Hey, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. In other words, your money and your family's money and your daddy's money and all those traditions, that couldn't cut it. But verse 19 tells you what it was, the price. But with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Do you see? Hey, the price was paid. Jesus Christ went to the old rugged cross. We talk about some 2,000 years ago. He laid down his life and he shed his blood. He poured it out. Hey, and when he did, he cried out, John 19:30. This is what he said. John 19:30, Jesus hanging on the cross just before he gave up the ghost, and he cried out these words. He said, Tetelestai. We translate it in English as, it is finished. It is finished. Jesus said, it is finished. That phrase, it is finished, it's a term of transaction. What he was saying, hey, they would have understood in his day, in their culture, they would have understood. He was saying, the task is complete. Yeah, we understand. If a servant had a task to carry out, when he was completed it, he went to his master and said, Tetelestai, it is finished. If an artist was drawing a picture, he would draw a picture and paint it and sculpt it, whatever it was, a piece of art. And when he was done, he would look at those watching and he would say, Tetelestai, it's completed, it is finished. And a merchant, when he was doing business, when he had a purchase to be made and the payment was finalized, when the payment was complete, he would take a stamp, and on the note, he would stamp it with the word Tetelestai. It is finished. It's complete. Payment has been paid in full. And Jesus Christ, hanging at the cross of Calvary, just before he gave up the ghost in John 19:30, he cried out those words, Tetelestai, it is finished. You know what he said? He said, the payment is complete. Can I help you this morning? Jesus didn't put a down payment and expect you to work your way into heaven. You'd be surprised. There's a lot of people who say, well, I believe, but I got to do good. Really? No, if you did believe, I believe God will change you and give you a desire to do good. But you don't have to do good to get to heaven. Matter of fact, the Bible said there is none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after him. There's not a just man upon this earth that doeth good, doth good, and sinneth not. Every one of us are sinners. Even since you've been saved, you've sinned. And if you say yet, in 1 John, we got to go back over there. And he said, if any man said that he had not sinned, he said he's a liar. So what I'm trying to tell you this morning is when Jesus went to Calvary, when he died, when he shed his blood, when he cried out, it is finished, the payment was paid. And I can be confident, listen, I can be confident when old death comes knocking, when my time comes to cross, I can have complete confidence because the payment that Jesus paid. I didn't have to pay it. Jesus, watch this, I owed a debt I couldn't pay, and Jesus paid a debt he didn't owe. I like that old song, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. So I say to you this morning, we can have confidence because of the price that Jesus paid. You say, who did he pay that price for? He paid it for the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. 1 John 2 said he's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. All right, listen to me. He satisfied the righteous, holy God of heaven. When Jesus died, he was a satisfaction to the holiness of God for everyone who would believe. Who can be saved, preacher? Everybody who believes. Anybody who will call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible said they shall be saved. And you can listen, if that's you, you can be confident. You can almost play games and say, na 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 boo boo death. I'm not scared of you. I wouldn't recommend you to be stupid or nothing. But hey, I'm serious. You can have confidence and boldness because of the price that Jesus paid. Number two, I want to say this, and you can look over in John 17 with me. And not only the price that Jesus paid, but because of the prayer that Jesus prayed. Look in John 17. I know everybody says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's not the Lord's Prayer. That's not the Lord's Prayer. That is the model prayer. That's when his disciples said, teach us to pray. And he taught them to pray in this manner. John 17 is our Lord's Prayer. We call it the high priestly prayer. John 17, Jesus is in Gethsemane, and he's praying on his way to Calvary. And listen, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in John chapter number 17, as Jesus was praying, he prayed not only for his disciples that were with him, but he prayed also for them who the Father was going to give him. And I want you to watch with me in John chapter number 17, and I want you to look down in verse number 24. Watch this now. Jesus is praying to his Father. He says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me, watch this, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. In verse 24, what he say? He's praying, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Where is he fixing to go? He's fixing to go to Calvary, and after he stops by the tomb for 3 days, he's going to resurrect, and he's going back to his Father. He's going to ascend into heaven and sit at the Father's right hand. And he's praying to his Father, I will that they whom you've given me would be with me. What's he saying? He said, Father, when I go to heaven, I want these to come with me and be with me. Hey, you can be confident that when you die, if you're saved, you're going to heaven, not only because of the price he paid, because of the prayer he prayed. There's a lot of people out here this morning that they think they got to pray to Mary to get through to Jesus. I got news for you. Mary can't help you get through. Are you listening? Mary's not going to help you get through to Jesus. But if you're praying, listen, how many of y'all would, I'm saying that Mary's prayer is not going to be answered no better than yours will. But how many of you believe Jesus is going to get his prayers answered? I believe Jesus will get his prayers answered. He said, I and the Father are one. I mean, him and the Father, they're one. They're one in it, like that. It's the three in one, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. One in essence. Three persons, one God. So the Godhead's praying, Jesus saying, I will that thou whom thou hast given me will be with me. So can I say to you this morning, you have an advocate. You have that propitiation, and he's your advocate now. He's at the right hand of the Father. You say, well, preacher, I know I trusted Christ, but you don't know, I slipped up this week. I thought this, or I said this, or I did this. Hold on. It doesn't matter what you've done. You have an advocate. You have an advocate. What's an advocate? An advocate's sort of like your go-between. He's your mediator. The Bible said there's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. He's sort of like a lawyer, and he's on the right hand of the Father. And each time Satan wants to accuse you or bring something you've done or maybe something that you didn't even do and he's trying to accuse you, Jesus is saying, hey, Daddy, Father, that's one of them ones that believed, and I washed them with the blood. The blood I shed at Calvary paid the price. I'm praying for them. Will you keep them? Let me say to you this morning, Jesus is going to get his prayers answered. You can mark it down, Jesus' prayer, man. If you're saved, you can have confidence at the cross because Jesus is praying for you to get to heaven. How about that? Let me give you another one. Not only the price that Jesus prayed, not only the prayer that he prayed, but number three, I like this. How about the plan that he made? The plan that God made. You might say it like this, the pathway that he made. You say, what's the pathway? What's the plan, preacher? Here it is. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You say, what do you mean, preacher? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 13 of Romans 10, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's the plan. The plan is simple. The plan is simple. You say, how do you know that's the plan? Because I want to say something to you this morning. I want you to understand this morning that salvation is not in a program. Salvation is not in a prayer. Salvation is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said in John 14, listen, here it is again, John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Y'all remember that verses? Let not your heart be troubled. In other words, you don't have to be upset. You can be at peace. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Where are we talking about going when we die if we're saved? To the Father's house. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. Y'all know what verse 6 says, doesn't you? His disciples come to him. They said, we don't know the way. Where are you going? We don't know. And Jesus said, in John 14:6, he said unto them, watch this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So Jesus paid the price. I mean, the price has been paid. Jesus has prayed. But Jesus has gave you and he made the pathway for you. Jesus is the way. Jesus, I'll tell you how you can be saved. It's not joining a church. I'll tell you how you have confidence when it comes your time to die. It's not by being baptized. It's not by, well, I didn't cuss this week and I didn't get mad at my wife and holler at her this week or I didn't. No, hold on, friend. All those things, they may be well and good in their place. In their place. But their place is not the place of salvation. Salvation is in and through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. John, 1 John 5:11, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you have him this morning? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? I'm not asking if you've been to church. I'm not asking you if you've been a good old boy or a good old girl. I'm not asking if you're from the South. I'm not asking, listen, if you are respectful and you have good manners. I'm asking you this morning this very serious, simple question. Do you personally know Jesus Christ? Do you have the complete confidence and assurance to know there's been a time, there's been a place where you personally called out on him and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? May not have been those very words. Some people, I prayed the sinner's prayer. I don't want to be mean, but I want to tell you something. It may startle you, but saying that sinner's prayer that's quoted by many, it doesn't save anybody. Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Dear Lord, I believe that you died on the cross. Listen, it's well and good to believe all that, but saying that prayer, it's like reading a storybook. It's like reading a poem. It's not a matter of did you say the prayer. What's the matter is, did you meet the Master? Did you meet him? Do you this morning have complete confidence that should your day be called today, preacher, I know beyond any shadow of any doubt that if my day was today, when my body and my spirit are separated, that I know beyond any shadow of any doubt that my spirit and soul are going to be absent from the body. Preacher, they're going to be present with the Lord. We're confident. We're confident. And Paul said, not only are we confident, but we're willing. In other words, hey, it suits me to the T if it happens today. Confident. Brother Davis, I don't have to be scared. I'd be foolish. Listen, my desire is that everybody here knows they're saved. But I would be foolish to think in a crowd this size that everybody's saved. Call me what you want, but I'd be foolish to believe that everybody that attends this church on a regular basis has truly been saved. I don't know who they are. That's not my job. But I'll say this. Jesus talked about how there's going to be many in that day. They're going to say, did we not do this? Did we not do that? And he's going to say to them, depart from me. I never knew you. I'm asking you this morning, do you know that you know that you know? I'm asking you this simple question. If you were to die today, do you know that heaven be your own? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you take the message. Use it, I pray, according to your will. Do the work that only you can do. God, there's some that need to be saved. Save them before it be too late. There may be some Christians being encouraged, knowing that death's closer, possibly, than it was 20 years ago. We can have that confidence, knowing that we're going to be departing from this life but entering a new life with you. God, help us today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're standing all across the auditorium. I ask everybody.